What a blessing it is to be able to be with you today. Thank you very much, church, for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us, as was mentioned, we appreciate you. We're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to be able to worship with you and get to know you a little bit better. If by chance you are visiting here, and you are thinking about, hey, someday I need to really settle down and find a church home, then, folks, you can't find a better one than this one. And so I encourage you to think and pray about that. But today we are going to continue into our study about who Jesus is. You see, we don't have to imagine who Jesus is. We don't have to pretend who Jesus is, because He explained to us exactly who He is. He's reminded us, as we've studied throughout the course of this series of lessons, that He is God. He is God in the flesh. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He told us along the way that He is the I Am. And we know that He is the I Am because He is God. And so God reminded Moses way back in the book of Exodus that you tell Pharaoh that the I Am sent you to tell him to let His people go. And so Jesus then takes that even further in the New Testament, and He reminds us seven different times what I Am He is. And of course, God, Jesus, Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah. But at the same time, He breaks it down even further. And we've done some study on this month, if you will, these last few weeks, and we have talked about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We've talked about Him being exactly who He says He was. And so this week we're going to continue in this study talking about who is Jesus. And along the way, we need to explain today who He is by being the Good Shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. You know why sheep need a shepherd? Because humans are a lot like sheep, and sheep are a lot like humans. Let me explain to you what I mean. Sheep need a shepherd because if not, they would just wander around. They would just wander around and be lost. We as humans would just wander around without a shepherd. You might think, oh no, I have a great sense of direction and all. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way we are, the way we're created. God created us to have something lord over us. Everybody has something lording over them. It's written on our DNA. That's by the Creator Himself. Well, what about the atheist that doesn't believe in God? They still have something lording over them. God desires us. He desires to be our shepherd. He desires to lead us. There are all kinds of people, and there are all kinds of things out there that are trying to lead us in connection with leading us away. In fact, there are all kinds of things, there are all kinds of people, there are all kinds of fill in the blank that are trying to lead us not forward but backward. God wants us to draw closer to Him. The devil wants us to get as far away as possible. And if we're not careful, because we have written on our DNA a desire and need for a Lord, if we do not allow the Good Shepherd to shepherd us, then we are going to be led astray. We're going to be led to hell. We will allow things, and we will allow people, and we will allow circumstances, and we will allow fill in the blanks to lead us to places we do not desire to be. John 10 verse 10 reminds us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus Christ said those words. And by saying those words, He's reminding us that there are all kinds of things out there that are not trying to be good for us. For instance, the thief. The thief isn't going to come to your house and say, "Hey, can I have a few dollars? Hey, can I have a few things that are in your closet? Hey, can I have a few of your prized possessions?" No, they're going to come in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Everything in our life that is not supposed to be our Lord did not come to help us. They came to hurt us. They came to steal, kill, and destroy. So if something is lording your life right now, and it's not the one who came to bring life and bring it more abundantly, then they're out to kill you. They're out to lead you to eternal death. And we need to get that out of our system today. We need to get that out of our soul, our heart, our mind, our all. Get it gone. I find it interesting that right after this statement in John 10:10, where Jesus says that He came that we may have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus says, "By the way, I am the Good Shepherd." I want us to look at why Jesus called Himself the Good Shepherd. You see, the word good is a word that refers to one with noble character. What Jesus is saying by saying that He is the Good Shepherd is that you can trust His character. That He doesn't have ulterior motives. No hidden agendas when it comes to wanting to lead you. You see, when Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," and implies, "Follow me," what He's saying there is, "I love you. I don't want anything more than for you to follow me." David did such a great job talking about giving today. Talking about Cain and Abel and those first fruits and what God has given to us and all these things. And in challenging us to make on our budgets, if, you know, the majority of us probably write budgets, right? On that budget, let the Lord be number one. And I appreciate David's words. But God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our anything. He is God. He is Yahweh. But when we decide to follow the Good Shepherd, guess what? We want to give. We desire to give. We desire to love. We desire to help. We desire to encourage. We desire to serve. We desire to evangelize. So let me say this right now. If giving is a struggle, we'll just use that one. If praying is a struggle, if studying the Bible is a struggle, if serving is a struggle, if encouraging is a struggle, if evangelizing is a struggle, then maybe we're not completely following the Good Shepherd. Because once we follow Jesus Christ, He's going to take us forward. He's going to take us places and ways and change our lives in ways we can't even imagine. So let's talk about why Jesus can say He is the Good Shepherd. Let's begin in verses 11 through 13. We're in John chapter 10. We just read verse 10, so now let's read verses 11 through 13. Jesus Christ's words now, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Now I want you to hear there's a contrast going on. There's the Good Shepherd and there's the hired hand. The one who's the hired hand doesn't really have a desire to care for those sheep. He's just got a job. He's just got a job that he goes and he does, and if something calls him, he'll go away and he'll leave those sheep. And those sheep are defenseless, not the most intelligent animals, just like us sometimes, right? And get in their own way, and they'll just wander around aimlessly right into the mouth and belly of a wolf. Today, if we're not careful, and we allow those hired hands to lead us, we allow those hired hands by Satan himself to lead us, that we might think those things are good, but they really just came to steal, kill, and destroy. If we allow that to be our shepherd today, if we allow secular things, the world, and society to be our shepherd today, it will leave you in a heartbeat. And it will leave you empty and eternally condemned. Jesus is the good shepherd, number one, because He is fully committed to all the sheep. There's not a person here that if you decide to follow the good shepherd today, that's who Jesus, who is Jesus? He is the good, I am the good shepherd. If there is somebody today, when I offer the invitation, it's the Lord's invitation, I just extend it, right? When we extend that invitation, if you decide today to come down this aisle, to confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, as He says, you confess me before others, I'll confess you before my Father. If we do that, and then we go and we're immersed behind that wall's water, I go down in that water and I'm immersed under that water, I'm buried under that water, God contacts me with the blood of Jesus, I put to death my old self. Once I'm raised up to walk in newness of life, I am now, my name has changed, my life has changed, I'm married to Jesus Christ. So now I'm Christian, right? Once I do that today, if you decide to do that today, I just want you to know He's fully committed. It doesn't matter what color, it doesn't matter what size, it doesn't matter what sex, it doesn't matter who we are, how much money we have, He doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it as this was a lost sheep that's come home to the flock. He's fully committed to every sheep. Jesus, in part, is the good shepherd because of His full and total commitment. Can the world do that for you? Can whatever is keeping you back today do that for you? No, it can't. And it's not willing to. We might think it is. It might make us happy for a little while. It might feel good for a little while. But at the end of the day, it will leave us in a heartbeat and we'll be most miserable. Jesus tells us that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The word "for" there emphasizes the fact that Jesus was a sacrifice on behalf of his sheep. Now the Bible refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Remember now, under the old law, on the Day of Atonement, they're going to bring this animal, this lamb, and they're going to offer it to the high priest, and the high priest is going to bleed that lamb, and he's going to take that blood, he's going to go into the holy place and then go into the Holy of Holies, and he's going to sprinkle that blood on the Ark of the Covenant. If it was accepted, that means their sins have been atoned for that year. Doesn't mean their sins are washed away. Doesn't mean their sins were gone. They were just rolled back. They were just rolled off, so to speak. It took the Lamb of God, who also is the Good Shepherd, to lay down His life to wash away those sins and ours today if we obey Him. You see, that type of commitment reminds us Jesus died for you. He died for me, but I want to say that word "you" right now because it is a personal pronoun, right? So what I want you to do is I want you to say, Jesus died, and then you put your name in your mind there. Jesus died for... And that's who He died for. We could say that throughout the world, couldn't we? We could get everybody to put their name in that space, in that blank. Jesus died for blank. Put your name there. Everybody in the world's name there. Everybody who's ever lived's name there. And that's how committed Jesus Christ is. He was willing to make the supreme sacrifice for His sheep. Jesus is fully committed to us because He bought us with a price. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Now, I'm going to take that further, and I'm going to take a few liberties here. And I'm not trying to change Scripture, but I'm trying to keep the idea. Because today, nobody should be a slave of man. But unfortunately, sometimes we're slaves of sleep. Slaves of food. Slaves of jobs. Slaves of money. Slaves of cell phones. Slaves of social media. Slaves of kids. Slaves of family. Slaves of husband. Slaves of wife. We could go on and on, couldn't we? But none of those things, and nothing else that you could come up with, bought you for a price. Jesus owns the sheep, so naturally He will be committed to them. You know, when you get a new something, you take care of it. At least, that's been my experience. A new vehicle. Wash that thing, vacuum that thing, wax that thing, keep it in life. Don't eat in here. No, we're not going to eat in here. After a few months, though, all that wears off. And then it's like, hey, we just live in here. Maybe. Maybe you're not that way, and I hope you're not. Maybe I am a little. Maybe my family. I don't know. Whatever. But here's the point. If you've been a Christian for 50 years, you're still brand new to Jesus Christ. If you've been a Christian for most of your life and you are really mature today, you are still brand new to Him. You see, He will always be committed. The new doesn't wear off. When Jesus becomes our Lord, we belong to Him. Jesus is fully committed to giving us the abundant life that He died and rose again to give. The things we get addicted to, the stuff that pulls us away from Jesus, that stuff doesn't care about us one bit. In fact, all it wants to do is suck the life right out of us until there's nothing left, and then it moves on to the next victim. Because it's all poise of Satan, the ultimate deceiver. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus wants you. Jesus wants me. He wants all to come to Him. He is the Good Shepherd. We all have a shepherd. The question is He your shepherd? Secondly, this morning, how can Jesus claim to be? What does it mean when He says, I am the Good Shepherd? Number two, He's a Good Shepherd because He has a special connection with all His sheep. You know, I think it's natural, isn't it? to give more love and affection to those whom we know, to those whom we have a special relationship with. You know, even as a coach, I mean, I love all of our players, but at the end of the day, I love my son the most. Right? I mean, does that make sense? I love all of y'all. I do. I really do. But at the end of the day, I love my family more. Now, I just think that's natural, isn't it? Well, here's the beautiful thing about it. Listen to John 10, verses 14 through 16. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus, in John 10:14, tells us of the strong connection between He and those who are His. You know, it's just special to belong. When you fit in somewhere, it's a neat thing. Now, we don't have, like, you know, at Mobile Christian and probably the other schools too, I would imagine, on game day, whatever sport it is, I'm going to just say football or cheerleading because that's what we're in. And I know volleyball is in session too. But just let me stick with my illustration. They wear their jerseys, or the cheerleaders wear their uniforms. And you know what that says? That says they belong to something. They belong to a team. We don't all have jerseys in here, right? It's not like on Sundays we're wearing our jerseys because it's game day. But we're wearing His blood. And we're a part of the greatest institution that's ever came into existence. Jesus has a connection, a bond with you and with me and those who are part of His flock. In New Testament times, the sheep would be put into the fold. And that would happen at the end of the day. They've had a long day of wandering and grazing and all those things, and now it's time to put them in the fold. You know what would happen when the shepherd would put them in the fold? He would examine each sheep. He would look for damage. And if they had cuts or scrapes or whatever, getting caught in briars, whatever it may be, He would anoint their wounds with oil, and He'd take care of all the other injuries before He was finished with them at night. The shepherd would know his sheep so well that he'd name all of them. God told the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." And He's talking to Jeremiah. He said, "I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Once you come into the fold, the shepherd who already knows you, He's going to look you over. And whatever's broken on you, He's going to heal it. He's going to anoint you with His blood, with His healing protection. And He's going to know you by name. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, didn't sit in some ivory tower somewhere, tossing out orders. He lived among the people, touching them, healing them, because He was connected with the people. Finally this morning, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, what does it mean? It means He is concerned for all of His sheep. Jesus Christ is so concerned for all of His sheep that He chose to serve them. He served them to and through the cross. Think about that. Jesus' life, He didn't come to be served, He came to serve. He served to all the way through the cross at Calvary. Jesus is a person full of joy because He loved the sheep. He loved being with His people. He loved children. He loved others. He loves you. Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. It really brings home John 3:16, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What good are we today if Jesus Christ is not our shepherd? Listen, you may be good to your job. You may be a good person in society. You may be a good provider. You may be a good husband or wife for the most part. But if Jesus Christ is not our shepherd, we are not as good as we could possibly be. In fact, if Jesus Christ is not our shepherd, we're slowly but surely getting further and further away from what really matters. Now listen, I get it. Sunday morning's always going to be our biggest crowd. It's going to be bigger than Sunday school. It's going to be bigger than Wednesday night. But I always have to ask, right? I always have to challenge. Why is that? Listen, I get sometimes things come up. But when it becomes a habitual habit, for me being once a week, then I have to ask myself, you need to ask yourself, right now, if that is my mindset, and it's not sickness, and it's not something else that I cannot control, if I only come once a week, is He truly my shepherd? Am I truly following Him where He leads me? Would Jesus Christ be here for Sunday school? Would Jesus Christ be back on Wednesday night? Would Jesus Christ have to talk about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? Again, it's a fair question. It's an honest question. Would Jesus read His Bible every day? Would Jesus develop a prayer life? Would Jesus be a servant? Would Jesus fill in the blank of things I may not be doing spiritually? Where the shepherd leads the sheep, they follow. If Jesus is not my shepherd today, I need to change it. And I have an opportunity to do so right now as together we stand and sing.